The story of Palm Sunday, the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the donkey, the branches, the coats and cloaks spread on the road, the shouting of Hosanna, the story of Palm Sunday is featured in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You may or may not know this, but getting into all four Gospels is a really big biblical deal. Christmas doesn't make it into all four Gospels. Two of the Gospels make absolutely no mention at all of the pregnant Mary for whom there's no room at the inn, or the shepherds watching their fields, their flocks by night, or angels, or stars, or wise men, or even a babe in the manger. Christmas makes it into two of the four Gospels. The Lord's Prayer doesn't make it into all four Gospels. The prayer that Jesus taught his followers, the prayer that the church has recited over the course of two millennia, the Lord's Prayer isn't in all four Gospels. The parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son, they only make the cut in one Gospel. The Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, they make it into two Gospels. This story, the entry of Jesus to Jerusalem, the donkey, the palms, the coats and cloaks, the shouts of Hosanna, this has pride of place, this story, in all four Gospels. Which makes me wonder if we have something wrong. You see, all along, Christians have regarded Pentecost as the birthday of the church. The church is the day we were born in wind and flame. I'm not so sure. I wonder if Palm Sunday is the church's real birthday, the day the followers of Jesus grew up, found their voices, summoned their courage, took up their role as witnesses to God's will on earth as it is in heaven. But let's set the scene. If you want to imagine Jerusalem, the ancient city of Jerusalem, at the time of the annual Passover festival, try imagining, if you can, a city with some annual large event where people come from all over the world. If you can imagine that, you have a little sense of Jerusalem. The city is swollen with visitors from all over the world. The place is alive, abuzz, international, exciting. Every possible room is rented at a high cost. Grocers have stocked their shelves to capacity. And the visitors, the pilgrims, they think they blend in. They don't. People can see them a mile away. And everyone is out in the streets. The merchants are selling their wares, exotic foods, trinkets, brightly colored cloth. Street performers gather knots of people who laugh, applaud, and gape in wonder. And to keep the peace, because when that many people come together in one smallish city, you need some help keeping the peace. Roman legions are patrolling the streets of Jerusalem. But the atmosphere is festive, charged, abuzz, international, exciting. Expectation is in the air. Something is going to happen. And until this moment, until this day, the followers of Jesus had been just that. Followers. Largely passive. They had traipsed after Jesus all over Palestine for 3 years. They had listened to his sermons, absorbed his teachings, observed as he wrought miracles. When he argued with the civil and religious officials, they watched, tense and riveted. When he defended a prostitute in public, they gasped. When he conversed in public with a woman from Samaria, they winced. When he defied the Sabbath laws, they cringed. When he declared that the last shall be first, and the first last, and the rich poor, they glanced around them, wondering who else was hearing this. Until this day, this moment, the followers of Jesus had been just that, followers, largely passive. Keen observers of his ways, but on Palm Sunday, on this day, a shift occurs. A transformation begins. As the followers of Jesus enter the city of Jerusalem, they begin to take on, to assume the role of leaders. They walk on stage, on the world stage of a capital city, during a great annual festival. And for the first time since they have known Jesus, they take up their roles as players and protagonists in the kingdom of God. Picture this. The Roman legions patrol the streets, their steeds snorting, their armor gleaming, their swords flashing, their crests bearing Caesar's proud image. And now see this. Against this display of power and authority, in defiance of it, the followers of Jesus stage a small street drama announcing this, that their hearts, their allegiance, their fealty belong not to Caesar or the Roman Empire, but to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Their allegiance, their loyalty, their fealty belong not to the Pax Romana, an uneasy peace achieved by coercion, but to Pax Christi, a peace to which we are all invited, but never coerced, a peace which emanates from the very heart of God, a peace that passes all human understanding. This is the day they shout in public that they belong to God and not to Caesar, which in their case is nothing less than an act of sedition. For the past 3 years, from the day Jesus called them away from their fishing nets until now, the commitment to follow Jesus has been for each of them personal, very personal. But today, Palm Sunday, it becomes public and it becomes political. Palm Sunday has pride of place in all four Gospels because this is the day the followers of Jesus become protagonists, actors, and leaders in the kingdom of God. This is the day the church is really born. The church comes out of the closet this day. This is the day Jesus says to us, he turns to us and he says to you, it's your turn. I did my part. It's your turn. It's your turn. Show them what God looks like. Show them what love looks like. Show them what it looks like to love your enemies. If you can. Show them what it looks like to forgive those who trespass against you. If you can. Show them what it looks like in a world run by violence to follow the Prince of Peace. If you can. Go ahead. Show them. If you dare. It won't be easy. It will be costly. It will cost you your life. This is the day, Palm Sunday, this is the day the followers of Jesus begin to understand that the Christian life is rigorous, demanding. To be ready, you better train for it, as an athlete trains for a race. Rehearsing the virtues, practicing courage, training oneself in kindness and gentleness, in generosity and mercy. And to the victors, to those who persevere in their training, those who conquer not others, but themselves, their own self and soul. To the victors go not the spoils of war, not wealth, not status, not fame, but this, God's everlasting thanksgiving, and this, showing the world what God looks like. Let the church say amen.